Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
We're ready to go. The governor's off.
Then Dave Koerner, always the colonel, the general, the man.
And you know me, because I am the absolute governor.
Dave Koerner is a great newsman over at WBBM. Before that, a sports guy at the Score, an update guy. We used to call him the governor.
The guy who helped train me as a Bears reporter.
Oh, wow. I love that.
Yeah. He was instrumental in my development as a reporter.
We used to call him the governor because there was another governor in the past named Koerner. Was it Otto Koerner?
Yes.
And so we called him the governor, but that was the late Norm Van Leer saying that he was always the general, always the colonel, always the governor.
We're ready to go. The governor's off.
Then Dave Koerner, always the colonel, the general, the man.
Nope. He was the governor. That's what he was. But that's all good. God, I miss Norm. What a lovely man.
Yeah, I was thinking, I ran across, by the way, before I knew the Otto Koerner stuff, I thought that we called him the governor because he kind of looked like Jim Edgar.
That checks out.
Right?
That totally checks out.
I used to think that, but...
No, it was just Terry Bors saying, oh, Koerner, that was the governor.
No,
but
the governor.
I could also see Terry saying, oh, hey, it's the governor.
Yeah, he looked a little bit like Jim Edgar.
Is Terry Bors turning into Matt Eberflus in our impressions here? That's dangerous.
Sure.
Governor. Ooh, governor.
But I was flipping channels the other day, and Barbershop was on. I was like, oh, God, I miss Norm. Because Norm plays a small role in the movie Barbershop.
I don't even know that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
There's the kid from the neighborhood who's a really good basketball prospect, and Norm is the one that's, like, getting him the shoes.
Wow.
Yeah, and so, like, I turned, like, just when that scene is happening, and wow. I'm like, oh God, I miss Norm.
Man, that's cool.
And I'm confused because I thought Roshan Johnson was the governor. I was like, oh, the governor's off today. Like, where is he? Yeah, get him in the camp.
Hey, governor, let's go, man.
See, that's why Terry Bors calling Dave Koerner the governor felt so much like Matt Eberflus calling Roshan Johnson the governor, because it's in our headspace.
Later on, we need, not today, and probably not tomorrow, but sometime in camp, we need to have a conversation about Roshan Johnson.
Yeah, I look forward to that.
Forgotten running back Roshan Johnson.
I think there's I think there's some meat on that bone conversationally for you and me. But anyway.
Hey, governor, let's go, man.
Yes, Texter, we are aware that the governor refers to no speed limit. Yes, we are. We are aware, but thank you for giving us the opportunity. Like,
have you ever driven a car have you guys ever rented a car that has a governor on it?
I have not, but I think of it often when I'm riding the e-bikes on the city.
Oh, they go a 30? Is that the governor on that?
No, it's even lower than that. But you can feel the governor kick in. You're like, man, I could really get this thing going.
I had one of those in Phoenix, and if you're on like the 101 or the 202, like you want to let it out a little bit because it's not a ton of people there on there usually when I'm driving around. And I'm like, why is this thing only going to 80?
Are you ever out there with some of those weird ass robot cars with giant things on the top?
Yeah, the Waymos.
Yeah, they go fast though.
They do.
They go on the highway?
I don't think it's legal for them to go on the highway yet.
Good.
In Arizona, but I have to check that. I usually take them to the airport, I find it delightful.
No, thank you.
Especially after my last Uber riot in AZ, where I got off the plane, get in the Uber, and the guy was like, oh, you seem like you're rich. And I'm like, oh, here we go. And then he's like, you should go to, I forget which country he went to, but he had gone back to his home country. And he's like, there's a lot of women there. And then he proceeded to, I'm going to show you what he did. Okay.
He said, I'm actually a prince.
So,
you might not believe this.
So speaks, he's driving.
I just need to access my money.
He's driving with this hand and then with this hand.
Yeah.
He's got his phone.
Uh-huh.
And then he's showing me pictures and videos of all the naked ladies.
Oh my God.
That he was hanging out with. And he was like, you seem like you got a lot of money. You do really well in whatever country I was in. And I was like, I don't like this conversation at all.
Please.
I'm just trying to get to downtown Phoenix. And then that was the moment where I said, Waymo's for me for the rest of the trip.
Wow.
And it was delightful.
All
it
right.
is a little jarring. I will say that.
I do find it a little jarring.
But whatevs.
It's a big old Bears day. We talked a bunch of Cubs at the top of the show and had Nico Horner on for a wonderful conversation. A reminder that you should use the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app, something you can only do in the Odyssey app. Search 670 The Score and tap earlier today to get started. Nico was terrific.
We were supposed to have Craig Council on, too, but then he didn't join us. By the way, good news, Pete Crow Armstrong is in today's lineup and playing center field.
That's a big deal.
Crisis averted.
We have a lot of Caleb Williams to listen to, and we need to get right to that. So let me just share this quickly. 70% on the season was Ben Johnson's aspirational stat. In 2024, 21 quarterbacks threw for 2,800 yards. Only five of those threw for 70%. Five quarterbacks who threw at any sort of volume threw for 70%. 2023, nobody did. 2022, nobody did. 2021, only one, and it was Joe Burrow. So Joe Burrow in 2021, and that's it until last year when five of them did it. So this is a high standard that Ben Johnson is holding Caleb Williams to.
I mean, honestly, that's like kind of just fun with numbers.
It is fun with numbers. Now let's have fun with words with Caleb Williams.
How's it going, everybody?
Good.
How are you, everybody? I'm wonderful. Let's get it going.
And last year, your first training camp, managing kind of the ups and downs of the roller coaster. What did you kind of learn from that in terms of how to manage? It's just natural. You're going to have some great days, some days where I
went back.
How do you learn how to manage that?
Yeah. I mean, I've played, I think, 17 games now, and those are a little bit more strenuous. And I'm not going to say more important because practice is, you know, probably equal. But, you know, that goes on the record. So I've had some up and downs in games myself and team-wise. And so, you know, I think all of last year was great for us and great for me. To be able to manage, you know, these next 6 weeks, so about 6 weeks, you know, I think it's going to be fun too. That's the fun part about it, is having these up and downs and figuring out a way to manage those and deal with them and, you know, come back the next day or next play or, you know, next drive, next situation that we have, and, you know, go out there and execute and, you know, be that guy that and teammate that, you know, they depend on and believe in for those moments.
What are you most pumped up about this camp for?
Really just to get out there with the guys. You know, pads come on. It's been a while. You know, so pads come on and you know, you get to get out there and enjoy, have fun. And then other than that, I mean, it's going to be the hotel lobbies and playing cards and Uno and all these different things that, you know, in the moment when you're in this for 6 weeks, it's long days, challenging days. But when you look back on it, those are the moments that you, you know, that really mean the most to you, your teammates, and something that, you know, at the end of the season that you know, you kind of reminisce on.
Caleb, how do you feel about the...
Let me just say that Uno is fire. An Uno flip where the entire deck just flips and you get a whole nother chaotic way to play. I mean, it is outstanding.
They now have Uno at the casinos.
Do they really?
Yeah, you can play Uno at the Palms now.
Yeah, well, I'm down and I want to play with Caleb.
The infrastructure that's in place for you right now with the coaching staff and the roster.
Yeah, it's been great. You know, everybody's excited, myself included, about, you know, the infrastructure and, you know, how everything's been set up. I know the DB coaches and things like that are great. D-line, everybody, you know, on the other side of the ball that you don't get to speak to and really talk too much. I try my best to get to them, but, you know, I feel great about that side. And obviously, you know, my side of the ball, I feel awesome. We went and got Colston and, you know, Kyle and Ozzy and, you know, I can keep going, Luther and all these different guys, you know, in the draft. And obviously we had a couple free agents, which are big. We had a couple, you know, big guys come up front, you know, a legendary guard and Joe. And obviously we all know his, you know, his stats and all, you know, what he's been able to do for his career. And then other than that, I mean, we got Drew and Jonah, and, you know, we brought in a bunch of guys, wide receivers, and, you know, brought some guys back, brought some new guys. So infrastructure wise, coaches, I think we're all excited, but excitement does nothing. You know, you got to go out there and put in the work to, you know, actually enjoy, you know, what we have.
Ben was very direct in saying that this is a race for the regular season. What do you make of that characterization of the urgency of these next 6 weeks of trying to get ready for the primetime stage in week one?
Yeah, as we know, we're not looking too far ahead, but as we know, we have the Vikings first game Monday night 8 p.m. So obviously, you know, you don't look too far ahead, but you do understand that time you're on a time limit, and so the race is here, and so we have to. you know, we can't pout about the long days. And when, you know, when those times do come about, we got to correct it and we got to move on and we got to, you know, find a way to get past that, you know, the pouting or the anger or the, you know, the complaining and understand where we're at and what we need, where we need to be.
So I need to correct Caleb on something. You do not have the Minnesota Vikings Monday night at 8 p.m., Caleb. You're going to be 45 minutes late for the game if that's when you show up to the game.
Hilarious.
That is a 7:15 kickoff on Monday Night Football, young man. That is on September 8th. I'm going to need you to get that time right because you're the quarterback of the team.
Now, I will say you hear him kind of, as always, trying to make sure he sounds leaderish, you know? And
is that a word?
Is hitterish a word?
No,
take from baseball.
We all joke about how stupid we sound when we talk about hitterish.
And I'll go ahead and own that this might sound stupid to say leaderish, but I feel like
put it on the shirt.
That guy is always trying to sound leaderish, and understandably so. Sounds pretty good. Sounds pretty good,
yeah,
right now.
I agree. Let's keep going.
Yeah.
How do you find success for yourself this season?
Obviously, I have self goals, and that's, you know, being the first 4,000 yard passer in Bears history. That's a, you know, goal of mine. 70% completion that helps the team, keeps us on the field, puts us in better positions. And then other than that, just trying to go down and, you know, score the most points that we can with each drive that we have. So you know, that's kind of my self goal. And obviously, other than that, you got to go win. That's success for me. That's success for the team. And you know, that's all we wish for, and all I wish for.
The last time we talked to you, go ahead, Courtney. I'll go next.
Back to the infrastructure on this team, just everything the team has put around you on offense. How do you view your role or your responsibility in making the best of that investment?
Yeah, be consistent. That's first and foremost. Be consistent. Be disciplined to my rules. And then other than that, lead, encourage. And part of that is leading by example. And the other half is, you know, when things are, you know, messing up or, you know, like I said, people are complaining. I'm complaining, like fixing that mindset, because that's a big part of our success, is our mindset. So being able to fix those things and then being able to fix those things and progress, you know, that's key for what we have and what we got. Like I said, the race and being able to be ready for first game and then grow from there.
The last time we talked to you, you were explaining your thought process, you know, during the whole pre-draft stuff and all that. What reaction did you get from fans kind of afterwards to the message you sent?
Don't know, really. You know, that's not something that, you know, we worry about here as fans of reaction or the fans' reactions. You know, we're worried about the people in the building. And that goes from, you know, that time then, but obviously leading into the season. There's going to be reactions throughout the year. There's going to be times where I have a bad game. There's going to be times where we lose a game that we, you know, that we feel we may not have should have lost. You know, but, you know, being able to control what's inside, being able to control everything that we do, because the outside noise is going to be outside noise, and handling it the way we should is of the utmost importance.
I like that a lot. I don't know what fans' reaction was to me talking about the book and that stuff. I don't know. I'm not gonna worry about it. Love that process, kid. Just worry about the process. Do your thing.
Caleb, are you at the point where
level of trust with Ben and just kind of building that relationship? Where do you think you guys are at right now?
Yeah, obviously, we've only been together a couple months, and you know, we try and, you know, over the summer, I would call him and, you know, check up on his family, you know, just kind of talk, because that's important to be able to build this bond and relationship. And then other than that, when we're here, I pop upstairs whenever I have some free time, or whenever he texts me, pop up there for, you know, an hour or so, 30 minutes, and, you know, a lot of times we're not talking about anything football related, which is, you know, which is important to building a relationship of us. And, you know, it's a really important relationship. And so it's been growing. It's been awesome. You know, we're having fun. You know, he gets on me, and, you know, it's greatly appreciated that he does, you know, being tough on me and realizing and understanding that, you know, nobody's above anybody. All of us are one. And, you know, that's how we're going to march, you know, march this season.
What do you talk about if it's not football stuff?
Family, you know, if it's a, you know, a car we like, if it's, you know, it's just, you know, things we like, hobbies, anything like that. And obviously we do talk about football. Let's not make that a thing, but we do talk. we talk about anything and anything and everything to be able to, you know, realize who we are, how we operate, what we like, you know, and things like that.
Is it part of it on the field? Because we've talked to you guys so much about accountability, and you guys wanting accountability, and you want a coach to be hard on you. Has there been any part of it that's been jarring to you, though, in terms of on the field, like because it's so different that maybe it's going to take time to get used to that, or is it all good?
No, I've been used to tough coaching throughout my years. I've had different type of personalities throughout my years of coaching, but I would say majority of my career of playing football has been tough coaching, and it's greatly appreciated because that's what you need to be able to at this level, especially to be able to go out there and execute and play at your best is somebody up on you, coaching you hard and pushing you, and that could be teammates and that could be coaches, and we're working on the leading by example. We're working on the teammates aspect of it because that's how you go win. That's elite teams is when the players are leading. But in the beginning, coach has set the example of how he wants things run and the standard. And then from there we take it and we lead.
Caleb, we know Ben made some tweaks to your game, footwork things. Mm-hmm. How comfortable are you right now? Does it feel natural to you with some of the tweaks that he's made as you're heading into camp, or is that still something you're working on?
Yeah, I mean it's a constant thing. Regardless if, we're here for the next 15 years together, it'll be something that I work in season, out of season, anything like that. So I feel comfortable with it. We're going to keep working at it to be as smooth, and be in rhythm of, the plays, the concepts, play actions, under center, making everything, kind of line up and look the same but be different. So, like I said, I feel comfortable. I'm excited. And then, getting things rolling.
Ben talked about the offense.
So that's the first bullet point on Ben Johnson's list of what they got to do before you even get to cleaning up the footwork, trusting your timing, and anticipating throws. It's all the pre-snap procedure.
I'm trying to get right with my left foot forward.
Good. But like, we said that Ben set the template there. There's Caleb telling you he feels pretty good about the pre-snap stuff. He says he feels pretty good. So we'll follow along as Lawrence works on his smoke routes.
Line, like the left tackle position battle. We know, obviously, they flipped the interior. And you've said, like, all sacks are not on the offensive line.
Absolutely.
The onus on yourself. To get that number to go down from 68 to whatever, what responsibility do you have in making that happen?
Yeah, part of it is, my footwork. And that lining up with the play. That helps accelerate the clock for me. The other part is being decisive. Making a decision. And then the other part is also taking what the defense gives me, not trying to find that big play every time and be the young cat and, want to go and, get that big play, big scramble play or anything like that. Sometimes it's just the check down over the ball, the flat, the second read that, may not be, something more than 5 yards.
Ben mentioned to us that he gave you some homework this summer. Can you share with us, some of what that was or what it had to do with?
Part of the homework is some of it was footwork. Some of it was not necessarily homework, but just, helping guideline the off season and, could get through the playbook, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, hour each day. It's 24 hours a day. If you can't give up an hour or 30 minutes of your day to go over the playbook, you probably shouldn't be in this position. So it's just small things like that. But homework wise, it was mainly the footwork and then some left kind of short throws that, in OTAs I was missing. And so worked on those every single day that I threw. And then, worked on my footwork every single day that I, was out there also.
Ben said that he puts a lot of emphasis on pre-snap procedure, motions, mm-hmm. cadence, all of those things. That's the biggest weapon for you guys. What have you done already in the offseason, and what do you continue to work on? What are those conversations like with him to be able to use that pre-snap procedure as a weapon?
Yeah, the pre-snap procedure is, it goes from how fast I can get the call to get it to them as fluid and smooth as possible, and then being able to get up to the ball and get going. And if we have checks and alerts, it's not always having to maybe run through the whole cadence. It's like, all right, we see it, I know what's about to happen, get to the next play, let's get it going, because that's one of our best friends, is being able to get up to the get up to the line, make whatever we need to make, and then get rolling and put the defense on the heels.
Did anything stand out that you did on your own this offseason that maybe helps you get ready for today and going forward?
Yeah, I think being able to listen to in the OTA times, I would listen to the play calls and voice record them and things like that and listen to them. So that was a big part of it. And then also just speaking it, in the car, going over my cadence in the car while I'm driving. things like that, small things like that. Just, you know, the small things, getting really comfortable with the small things, you know, it helps, you know, everything be a little bit more fluid.
Man, that is a refreshed, energized, passionate young quarterback to my ears who is glad to be doing the work with somebody he trusts and is excited to do the work with. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's nice to hear him talk about all this stuff and understand the challenge that he has to take on. It's big. It's a big deal. So we should discuss it, and we should go over the fact that we've got a Netflix recommendation from Ben Johnson. I wonder what it is. We're going to take guesses on it next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Check Todd out at The Ringer. He's doing incredible stuff with the Todd McShay Show.
You guys are the not messing around crew. I like it.
Afternoons on The Score.
There's really been one thing just that's been on my mind over the course of this summer, and I give Ryan some credit for this. He brought it up in the springtime. Has anyone seen that Netflix documentary?
Which one? Which one?
What's in the box? What's in the box?
John Doe has the upper hand. I assume he's talking about quarterback. Lawrence has been talking about it. I've watched all but the Stumblebum episode.
I've been giving people that recommendation, but I feel like maybe since Ben lived it,
yeah,
maybe he's talking about something else.
Is he talking about Amy Bradley is missing? Anybody watch that one?
No, that sounds fun, though.
If you're into that, if you're into cruise ship disappearances.
Oh, you know, I knew what my wife was watching that this week. Woo! Yeah. Cruise ships already not fun, but that really looked unfun. I thought maybe he was talking about Fear City, New York versus the Mafia. One of my favorites.
Of course you did. Alex, what documentary did you think Ben Johnson was talking about?
Maybe the Murdaugh family murders?
Oh, man.
The there's Secret Life of Mormon Wives doesn't count, right?
No.
Okay. The Murdaugh family murders. Maybe.
Yeah, there's like four different documentaries of those.
What about 13th?
It's good. The Ava DuVernay?
Yeah.
On the 13th, on the amendment?
Yeah, is he maybe talking about that?
That's a nice light watch.
No, it is not.
It is not. Barrel of laughs.
So it was Filthy Rich, the Jeffrey Epstein documentary. very
I thought it was the Ghislaine Maxwell one. Just to follow up, because he didn't get enough with the Filthy Rich.
I was walking in the hallway during the break to get a refill, and I'm watching the BBM people like buzzing around, and I'm like, what's going on?
Oh, no.
It's like big news day.
What did he do now?
I think it has a little bit to do with the subject that you guys are talking about.
Jeezy or Ghislaine Maxwell.
I believe that the chambers of Congress have been closed so that they can decide if they're going to vote on things and whatnot.
It's more important that teams change their names back to racist mascots, in my opinion.
From area code 630, my vote for bum of the year. Jeffrey Epstein for not hanging on to Joe Madden.
Theo Epstein. Let's not put Joe Madden into
somebody said you said Jeffrey
not,
Epstein. You, of course, meant... Well, I was just reading what the texter said. He said Jeffrey, but of course, needless to say, he meant Theo Epstein. 773, I think the caller meant Juan Epstein. Juan Epstein from Welcome Back, Kotter.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Refer to it? So he was half Jewish and half Puerto Rican, so what did he call himself, a Jew-a-Rican? On the show with starring Gabriel Kaplan and a few other big-time stars in that one.
John Travolta, young John Travolta.
Including somebody by the name of John Travolta. Yeah. He was kind of a big-time star in that show as well. John Travolta.
Oh, my God, that makes me so happy. That's wonderful. Stream of consciousness, middle of the night radio. Oh, God. All right, what are we doing?
All right, so the real doc. You guys ready for it?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't any of those things we just mentioned.
And it wasn't quarterback either?
No,
okay.
It wasn't, yeah.
Has anyone seen that Netflix documentary, Thunderbirds?
Anyone? Before we get the rest of this thing here?
I have not seen Thunderbirds. I don't know anything about Thunderbirds.
Well, be careful. He does say he spoils it here, so I know how you are with the spoilage.
Oh,
but
no.
Yeah, Ben talks about it.
Is it on the pilot? Like,
You're right, Lawrence. So here he talks about it.
No one. Okay, good. Spoiler alert, okay? Spoiler alert. All right, so it's the Thunderbird pilots, and what they do is they come together, and it's four new pilots, and they've never worked together, and through the course of their training, it's all about earning trust because it's a dangerous job, and they're doing some very dangerous acrobatics throughout the air. And at one point, they say, I don't look straight ahead. I got to look at the lead pilot the whole time, and for 30 or 40 minutes nonstop, and we're just a few feet away. And shoot, over the course of years, there have been some tragedies that have happened with how dangerous that is. But as I think about our team and where we're going into training camp, it's really, there are a lot of parallels there because as a first-time head coach, first-year head coach, a lot of new staff members on the coaching staff, a lot of new faces in the locker room, we don't know each other particularly well, and we've tried to bridge that gap over the course of the spring, but really the next 6 weeks is about us coming together because it takes time to build that trust. It's hard to earn, and it's really easy to lose that trust. And so really those next 6 weeks are huge. And what we're looking for, it's dependability, it's consistency, it's production on a day-in and day-out basis, not only from the players but from the coaching staff as well as we get to know each other. So that's really a big part of where we're at and what we're looking to do right now. There's a lot of excitement around the program, and I think rightfully so. There's a lot of talent on the roster. Looking forward to see what leaders come out of the locker room and really lead the charge here for us going into the fall. The focus for us is going to be on continuous improvement, all right, really for the next 6 weeks. That's all we care about is getting a little bit better every single day, day by day, brick by brick, and that starts today.
All right, I'm really glad we've gotten to this. I think it's an important moment to point out here at 4:34 in the afternoon. Those were the first words of Ben Johnson today, right, Tanny? That like his opening statement was talking about,
other than some house cleaning things, I think that were in there, but that was clearly, he came in there and it's like, hey, this has been top of mind for everybody in our building this offseason.
Yeah, so his first message is to hit on that. And I'd like to watch Thunderbirds. Christine would love to watch that, I'm sure.
Here's the one-sentence synopsis on it.
Okay.
In this documentary, the elite pilots of the Air Force Thunderbirds display exceptional skill, trust, and courage during a high-stakes training season.
All right, well, dig it, because here comes the football season, and they need that, the skills and the trust and the courage. So I mean, that's him, man. Be who you are. I mean, Matt Nagy wasn't wrong about be you as a leader. He really wasn't wrong about that as a thought. I mean, this is Ben Johnson's got to be himself, and that's him. So that's the template he wants to set. Heard, Chef. Heard.
Yeah, it does match with a lot of things that we often do with football. The militarization of football, it matches. This is a little different than what we usually get because we don't usually get pilots. We usually get the infantry.
Yeah,
like that's usually the way that people will talk about football in a militaristic type way.
I'm the general and you're my soldiers. You follow orders, we'll kill the opponent.
So this is kind of interesting too because it's like, hey, high stakes, speed, making sure that everything is aligned. Like when
you're great at your job and so am I, let's work together.
When the Thunderbirds do like that diamond formation thing, man, and they're so close where the nose of the plane in the back is right on the engine of the plane in the front, like that type of stuff, like
scary
skill, courage, all that stuff that they're talking about. It's amazing. We'll see it in a couple weeks, right? Where the air and water show.
Yeah, it's the Blue Angels, or is it also the Thunderbirds?
I think those are the Blue Angels, but it's the same type
concept.
Of thing.
Yes.
Because Blue Angels is Navy and Thunderbirds are Air Force.
That's what it is. Uh-huh. So
we'll hear them, too. They'll go right by us.
I mean,
shoot, over the course of years, there have been some tragedies that have happened with how dangerous that is. But
yes.
Okay, then.
Yes, that is.
Sure, it can be dangerous.
You don't want to just gloss over that.
No, I mean, you could throw three interceptions against Green Bay. You know what I mean? Now, that's dangerous.
I will tell you, though.
That's why the military football thing rings hollow after a little while.
I don't know if you ever played this game on original NES, Speaks.
Which one? Oh, Combat?
Top Gun.
Oh, no, that's Atari. I went older. Top Gun, no.
I will tell you that as a child playing video games, there was no stress like landing on the aircraft carrier in original NES Top Gun or the in-flight refueling that you would have to do.
That sounds scary.
In Top Gun.
Was Kelly...
Better believe it.
Was Kelly McGillis waiting for you when you landed?
I hope so. I mean, that was like the dream back then. Uh-huh. But anyone who has played that game, I'm asking you to testify with me on
to
that.
To the stress of
like,
that.
As a 13-year-old.
You're landing on an aircraft carrier.
And like you see it. Like, and if you miss, you see that they zoom out and you see your little plane just hit the aircraft carrier and blow to pieces.
Well, the world has changed. All my 13-year-old wants to do is play Grow a Garden on Roblox. Ooh. Just over and over and over again.
I'm growing an actual garden
Dad,
right now.
Dad,
I
have a tomato that's worth $50 billion. You do, son? Congratulations. That's not how the world works, but he's enjoying himself.
I mean, it depends on what type of pizza Nico and him are going to put that tomato on.
This is all true. You're back to the pizza metrics.
It's great, though. He's learning how to live off the grid, except if he ever wants to do that, he'll just need his tablets, and he'll have everything he needs there. He'll have the whole game plan.
Hey, off the grid.
If you can grow food, you can survive a lot of things.
I'm actually investing time and conversation in his thought processes as he plays video games. For all you parents
as you
out
should.
There, absolutely. For all you parents out there, we must. This is the way to connect with our children. Because that's the way that they are connecting with the world. So
I was in my garden today. Check out this rose.
That's a lovely. That's a beautiful rose.
Yeah, I know.
You never promised me the rose garden.
I didn't.
Tanny,
but I have one.
Tanny, will you accept this rose from Lawrence? Alex, will you accept this rose?
It's red. But it's kind of pink, actually. But I got yellow ones and white ones, too.
I'll accept that.
I'm all about my hydrangeas, though.
You can be my wingman anytime.
People are testifying and agreeing with the stress. Top Gun was stressful. Amen. All-time video game stress.
It's unbelievable. Like, as you're sitting there, the landing on the plane, like, you can get that one. But the in-flight fueling is just... Go look at a YouTube of it. Like, for those of you who have never played that game, go look at a YouTube of trying to set yourself up for in-flight refueling to finish your mission on Top Gun NES.
This whole thing that these kids have where you can save the game at a spot.
Save the progress.
And you really don't lose any lives ever. You can
Ludicrous.
Continue going forward.
Hey,
it's
man,
like, they will never know the struggle.
When I was Pitfall Harry, back in the day, Harry, I'm playing Pitfall, and like I get an hour into the game, and then I lose my last life, and I'm toast, and I got to start again. They don't know that struggle. You're right. They don't know the tedium of doing it again and again and again.
All right, tomorrow at 3, we're going to do old man video game grievances. Oh, that's right, short show.
You can Never do whatever mind. You want right. tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Meet us in the office. We'll do it all.
Sorry about that, guys.
Cubs Royals, baby. I'm gonna go hang 10 with Rex Hudler.
Although, don't jinx it. How's the weather? Yeah.
Well, no, tomorrow's the corn sweat, right? Isn't that what we're getting? Had you guys ever heard that? Wait, you're an Iowa guy. Had you ever heard
corn sweat?
Yeah, that's what's messing up the air. Like, that's why the humidity is going to feel oppressive over the next couple of days.
I think the corn game.
And the corn sweat.
Isn't that the name of the new Superman, too? Isn't his last name Corn Sweat or
corn
something
sweat?
Like that?
Jonathan Corn Sweat? That's his name?
I think it's David, but... God. Yeah, I've been watching all the weather people, and I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm watching Paul Conrad explain it. And I'm like, what
explain
is going on?
Sweat.
Yeah, the Green Lantern.
There's moisture that goes up in the air from the corn,
and it's apparently just going to lay there because of where we're at, and it's part of the reason that the Midwest is going to be in this heat wave over the next couple of days.
Yeah. I mean, look,
there's a lot of random things that swim in my head, and I know that I should have taken this brain to law school, but damn it, this is what you're getting.
There's a lot of random things on this show. Textures say a couple things. One, I want to hear old man gaming grievances. Can you guys do it on Friday? No, I'm sorry, we can't. Another texture, I never heard that Les Grobstein, Jeffrey Epstein bit, but you got to say, you can't argue with him being bum of the year.
This is true.
That's a good point.
That is a great point.
And it's probably an all-time thing, too.
Just narrowly edged out Ryan Pace.
And one of them ended up in the Atlanta Falcons front office. I forget.
Let's not do that to Ryan Pace.
I forget which one. I honestly
he was
do.
A very nice man, just a bad general manager. Delightful. He and Moon would go out on these long bike rides in Bourbonnais.
Sure, all kinds of good stuff going on there.
You know, we're excited.
Oh, that's very fired up.
We don't know for sure though that Jeffrey Epstein is not in the Falcons front office somewhere. We can't say definitively. We don't have the
evidence. That's what I'm saying. That's why I was leaving it vague. One of them is retired since. And one of them hung himself. I forget. It was Jeffrey. That's who it was. Okay.
I'm reading more about corn sweat.
Of course you are.
Yeah.
Thank God.
I like learning about things.
Thank God you're here. Does it smell like corn when it's up there just hanging out in the air? Like, do you just...
I don't know.
If you jump up high enough, do you smell corn?
But this headline from Scientific America says... Corn sweat is making this heat wave even worse. Humid heat is blanketing the eastern U.S. this week, exacerbated by corn sweat in the Midwest.
Wow. I have 3 years of corn sitting on the countertop.
You're the problem.
I'd like to apologize for all the corn sweat. And
I thought you said you had 3 years of corn. Like, you got to stop hoarding that corn now.
But we now know the plan of the Spiegels when end times come.
Yeah.
It's tomatoes and corn.
And corn. That's right. That's
and they have all the kitchen gadgets in the world to take care of them all.
Man, I do have some excellent little corn holders. I can bring them in for you. They work beautifully. And a little butter thing. You put the butter in, and then it's got like a curve on the top to apply the butter perfectly to the corn. You're interested now. Now you're interested. I'll get you one.
When we come back, we need to get back to the Cubs a little bit to talk about what the hell is going on in the National League Central. Don't worry, though. Mark Grody has got a Bears hit. One word for us at 5 o'clock. Stick around. You're listening to Spiegel and Holmes on The Score.
Anderson looks in. And the 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Fastball at 95 on the outside edge. Moore went after it. Came up empty. And the Brewers have won 11 in a row. The best record in baseball belongs to Milwaukee. A 6-0 shutout of the Mariners to take game one of this series. The Brewers' 10th shutout of 2025.
Listen to the Spiegel and Holmes Show on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
That's our friend Jeff Levering from Bally Sports TV with the Brewers' 11th straight win yesterday. They're good.
They're really good, and now they are in front of the Cubs by a game in the National League Central. And it's weird because this is what we were talking about yesterday, the idea of, oh yeah, the Cubs have been in first place since what, April 3rd? They've been in first place and they've been playing good ball. Like they haven't gone on some prolonged losing streak that would allow for this to happen. The Brewers have just been playing crazy good baseball.
So 3.5 months of first place has come to an end now. And it's crazy because the Brewers started out 25-28. And what are they? 34-12 since then.
Yeah.
34-12. They had an 8-game win streak in there. Now an 11-game win streak in there. And the Cubs' first place run is over.
Yes.
For now.
For now. And now they have to chase. Like, we've gone through 2/3 of the season where the Cubs have been in front. And it's felt like comfortably. But the Brewers, like, as an organization, like, they're. What did Midday talk about them being the Undertaker? Like, that's what it's like. It's like, well, you think you have him and you don't. And then he gets back up. And it was funny because Friday, Jed was talking about how, like, they can't look at the moves that other teams might make other than when they're in, like, direct negotiations. They can't think about it. They've got to think about how they can make the Cubs a better team. But it was interesting. He got asked about seeding and the idea of, does it matter in baseball because the variance is so high on whether or not you end up with the best record in your league?
It hasn't played out that way in some years, but I would say there's no question that the value of a 1 or 2 seed is immense. Just taking a 2 out of 3 series against a very good team off the table. I mean, so mathematically, it's a no-brainer that is a huge advantage.
Yeah, it's interesting. It can be an advantage, obviously, to get that one seed. They do need to win the division. They absolutely need to win the division. They can't be a team having to claw their way through. Now, some teams have done it, that's for sure, but you don't want to put yourself through the hazards of the extra round if you don't have to.
Well, the good news is this. The Phillies haven't played particularly well lately. The Dodgers have not been good, and partly because they keep running into the Brewers, who seem to have their number at least during the regular season.
Swept them at home, swept them on the road.
I mean, and look, there was some cool stuff that went on in that game. Shohei was out here dealing and hitting bombs, and they just won't stop. The Brewers won't stop. So
you can't either.
You can't either. You can't exactly either. Speaks.
You can't either, and you got to get aggressive. And I think they're a little late to go out and do something. Ben Brown was bad. And the Cubs were bad behind him in that.
Yeah, it got real janky.
It got real ugly. And that has not been the case. And they've, you know, hung their hat on that not being the case. And rightfully so when you look at the big sample. But that was ugly last night. Craig Counsell said before the game, we're a little short on starting pitching. So Ben Brown will be here and pitch in bulk. And then that happened. And then we didn't get a chance to talk to Craig today. Which is interesting in and of itself, but they can't let Ben Brown be the bulk guy the next time that spot comes up. It's going to come up at least once before the deadline, probably just once, and you can't let that be the case. Jameson Taillon nor Javier Assad are walking through that door anytime real soon. Jordan Wicks is a guy that you're letting mop up. I mean, the depth is toast. Chris Flexen was out there just wearing it last night.
Yeah, he had to wear it. I felt bad for him.
Me too. Tommy Ottavi went out there and said, yep, I know, this is tough. Sorry, man. Good luck, everybody.
Sorry, you got to wear it.
Yeah, so like they're a little late. They're a little late. I don't think that next spot in the rotation can be Ben Brown in bulk again.
I think you got to find a real dude. Like, that is important. And you know how I've been for this, Spiegs. Like, I know that it usually is the last 4 days before, but if you're trying to win games, man, don't limit yourself. And there are times where I feel like the Cubs do limit themselves. By the way, Andrew Vaughn, 2-for-3 last night with a couple of walks. He's still only a 617 OPS, though, so let's not go crazy.
I'm happy to not go crazy.
Are you going to go crazy on a Bears hit?
Dude, Mark Grody is here. He's got a big pile of tape of everything that's pertinent and important. Let's go.
Next on the score.
Grody.